This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, good morning to all of you listening on this Thursday. We're Grant and Danny, and you are locked in to 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate Pete getting us started. We're going to be here and gone in a flash. An abbreviated Grant and Danny today. We are off the air in about an hour and 30 or so minutes because the Nats play the Mets, trying to avoid a sweep in New York. In our time slot today, a 12:10 first pitch at Citi Field. That means a trip over to Cava when the show ends.
That's right, yes.
You going to do anything big with your afternoon? Did you make any plans?
Nap. I'm going to take a nap.
You are?
I'm exhausted. I'm so tired. Every second of every day, I think about when I can go to sleep again. I'm going to be able to go to sleep again.
So how will this work?
I'm going to go home and go to sleep.
You're not going to do it here?
No. I'm going to go to sleep.
You'll walk in. The nanny's at your house.
Yeah.
And she'll keep doing her nanny thing, and you'll just go take a nap in the
room? That's right. I'm going to take a nap.
And then what happens when you wake up?
It'll be a normal day. Again, and I'll just, you know, have my two hellions until the wife gets home, and I hand the dirtiest one to her and say, you take this thing and clean it up. I can't wait. I mean, I couldn't be more excited. Every game should be played at 12:10. I've always been correct about this. It's perfect. And I'm going to pledge something to you and Brandon and Thom and our listeners, our tens of listeners out there. A lot of people would come in and mail in this show today because it's 90 minutes. Not me. I promise bits. I promise to overreact to something. I promise passion. I promise increased volume. I promise to botch a reference. I promise to be cranky. I will give you a four-hour effort in 90 minutes today. Today I will.
Max effort?
Maximum effort.
Like you're coming out
of
the bullpen? Speaking of max effort, why don't we start with our three up, three down first segment here, some of yesterday's big stories. The Nats got a max effort. Max Scherzer, what a poor, poor, poor man he is. I feel so bad for him.
2-9 and Max Scherzer starts.
Six innings, no runs, 9 strikeouts, just a grown adult carrying the Nationals through six innings last night. They commit an error behind him. He's got to throw extra pitches. He strands base runners and picks up his teammates. He had the best at bat of anybody on the team against Jacob DeGrom. They managed one run on one solo home run in the first inning on a mistake pitch that Adam Eaton barreled and hit off the facing. The facade of the second deck. They're up 1-0 all night. And then, as they have been one to do this year, they melted down. No lead is safe, specifically a one-run lead. In the seventh inning, believe it or not, Joe Ross got the out he was asked to. He was immediately taken out of the game. Everybody was upset by that for some reason. They went to Matt Grace, who got back-to-back out, so they get through the seventh inning clean. Forget the fact that Joe Ross is allowing a 375 average against lefties, and a lefty was stepping into the box, and he's been terrible this year. We all have to be up in arms because the manager removed him from the game. It ended up working. Then you go to the eighth inning, and Kyle Bearclaw, who has also stunk this season, did what he does, and he put runners on, and then Sean Doolittle had to do what he does.
Yeah, his numbers are now starting to look like what Kyle Bearclaw's pitched like.
Right.
Right?
Sean Doolittle comes in to put out a fire, which he's done all season long. Pick up after and clean up after the mess he inherits in the eighth inning from Bearclaw and to bail him out and save his earned run average. And last night he wasn't able to do it. You got to feel awful for Doolittle. He hits a batter. Then he gives up a three-run double. Ultimately gives up an additional three-run home run to Rajay Davis, who had gotten to the ballpark in the third inning via Uber, getting called up from the minor leagues. The Nationals, for the second straight game, led in the eighth inning and lost to the Mets. Their season has fallen apart.
Doolittle sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a line drive left center field toward the gap, and no one will catch this one. One hop off the wall. Rounding third, Frazier coming in to score, as well as Gomez. A bases clearing three-run double for Juan Lagares. And just like that, it's the Mets 3 and the Nationals 1.
Sean Doolittle, after his, I can't call it an inning last night, because
his appearance
came in and gave up hits and runs, looked devastated.
Mm-hmm.
Every other reliever, that's just their Wednesday night. You know, they come in, they give up a bunch of runs, they go back into the dugout, they get some bubble gum, they go out for steak that night, and then the next day they do it again and they make all their money. Sean Doolittle wore it. I mean, he looked so sad. After the game, he said he was ashamed of himself. Basically, he was embarrassed. He let the team down. He felt sick. You got to feel for that guy.
Of course
He's
you do.
Normally very good, and last night was his night to stink.
The same way, you know, as upset as I was and as devastating it was as I was in 2012, I felt for Drew Storen. I'll never forget that scene of the Nationals locker room being covered in plastic, you know, because of the champagne they were about to spray on each other. And Drew Storen just staring through some sort of different dimension of time and space, just numb and devastated and horrified and mortified and guilty and sad and all these negative emotions. And I couldn't take my eyes off him, right? And he answered every question, obviously as morose as you could possibly be. Same with Sean Doolittle last night in a game with one-thousandth of the importance of a playoff game. Doolittle's a pro, man.
And so is Max, by the way. Scherzer has to just be completely irate at this point. How demoralizing it must be to never feel like you've won a baseball game until the last out is recorded. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how hard you play or how well you perform. Nothing you hand your bullpen is safe if you don't go nine innings. It has to be just completely demoralizing. Another loss for the Nats. They are 11 under 500. The Phillies have lost consecutive games to the Cubs. And the Nats, despite leading in the eighth inning, have squandered chances to gain two games during that time. Meanwhile, the Redskins made a transaction yesterday. They signed John Bostic. Nobody talked about this. I saw this last night and wondered how this wasn't a bigger story. He's actually been a decent starting inside linebacker the last 2 years. He has started 30 games. I should say played in 30 games. I believe he started 28 of them. With the Steelers and the Colts. He's actually played on four teams in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to tell you he's great by any means. He's not. I was texting with a buddy of mine who covers the Bears. He was the opposite of that early on in Chicago. He was drafted in the second round, and within 3 seasons, they had moved on from him and decided this is not good enough. But he's been in the NFL for 7 seasons. He himself did have an injury that cost him all of 2016. But if you want to pit him against a late-round pick in Cole Holcomb or a guy in Josh Harvey Clemens, who's kind of a situational package-used player, not an all-down linebacker. Mason Foster, who last year had struggled to run with tight ends. I don't understand why John Bostic wouldn't be able to compete for playing time here as a former 50th pick in the draft. I thought, you know, you and I spent the last 2 days going, what are they going to do?
What are they going to do?
They're just going to use the guys they already have. Or they'll go out and they'll bring in a player who started for the Steelers and the Colts, two pretty good teams the last 2 years.
This is kind of thing that I would do right now, where as, you know, little financial flexibility as they have, I'd do it for receiver, I would do it for linebacker, I would do it for safety. I throw something at the wall, bring in camp bodies, bring in, I'm blanking on the guy's name, who they brought in, the veteran cornerback, I guess it was last year, cut him after a few weeks, and he went and played somewhere else. But just in case it doesn't work, in case your kids aren't ready, they're always, this guy is always available. Do this. And what if you get a Mason Foster 2.0? You spin a profit from somebody that doesn't cost you a whole lot. I'm all in favor of that. Good on him.
I hope that he at least pushes Mason Foster. I'd assume that he will. I hope that he can get a little bit more out of Cole Holcomb and some of the other players in this linebacking core than maybe would have been delivered otherwise. And finally, three up, three down, the third and final out here is Drake. You and I went nuts on him yesterday, and there's a story that Josh Luckenbaugh wrote that was fun, I thought, and captured well how we felt about all of his ridiculous antics on the floor at thefandc.com, so go check that out. I also tweeted it at Grant H. Paulson. But we were not alone, apparently. This became a national story yesterday afternoon, and ultimately, the coaching staffs of both of the two teams were being asked about it by the media. I heard Jay Pate from the Junkies earlier today comparing him to Brenda Warner.
I'm sure it's the same thing.
Let me know when Brenda Warner runs out onto the field playing the air guitar. I also heard Jay Pate from the Junkies, who's my guy and I thoroughly enjoy listening to, say today that basically, why is Budenholzer, the coach of the Bucks, talking about this? He should be worrying about Kawhi. I'm quite sure he's worrying about Kawhi and focused on the game, and there's enough time in the day that he can also answer a question about Drake acting like an idiot.
He's able to do that.
I don't think he's going, hey, guys, I wanted to plan for game five, but instead, let's talk about Drake real quick. Here's the dry erase board. Here's what Drake did in game four. Let's not let him do this. I don't think that's how this is working. My team is prepared. I'm handling our practice and our preparation.
This is the media part of it.
And oh, by the way, get this clown off the court, please. No one else is allowed to do this. No fan is allowed to do this. Somehow, since the beginning of the NBA's history, every other fan has had rules that this guy just doesn't have. Can we please keep him away from the floor and clapping in my players' faces and playing the air guitar at midcourt? Can we stop that? Please and thank you.
It's the height of jackassery, and it's grown beyond their control. They've got to rein it in. I understand they wanted him to do all these things, and they've unleashed Drake. You got to love Drake. It stinks. It's so annoying. Remains indefensible. It's so annoying. You could say, well, people are Toronto fans are tweeting me last night. Let me know when your Wizards are in the playoff. My Wizards are terrible. They're awful. That dude's an insufferable Bama. He sucks.
He is.
Sit him in his chair, please.
Insufferable is the right word.
Sit him in his chair.
He's
enjoy
so
the game.
Obnoxious.
Enjoy the game.
And intolerable. He's just a lot to deal with, is what he is. He's a lot.
Millions of fans have gone to basketball games and not massaged the coach. Please stop it. Please.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Why don't we get into the Brandon Scherff extension talks that are ongoing next? He's going to get paid a ton of money. Do you want to spend that much on a guard?
Guard.
Do they have to lock up Scherff? Grant and Danny on The Fan.
I grilled last night, GP. The weather was beautiful. Had some pork chops on the grill.
Of course you did. You're the grill meister.
I am. Winter Edition's ready to kick off summer with sizzling savings. Sizzling like those pork chops on the grill, huh? Buy one, you get one free. Yep. Winter Nation's absolute best offer is back only until May 31st. Limited time. You buy one window, you get the second for free. You buy two, you get two free. You buy four, you get four free. There is no limit. Plus, and there's a plus here, you'll get 0% interest for 5 years.
There's even more to this smoking hot deal. Call today, get the free in-home quote, and you'll get a pair of tickets to Hershey Park while supplies last. Window Nation is going to come out to your home within 24 hours. They'll do it 7 days a week. Provide you with exact pricing, not just an estimate. That's a game changer. I love that. Backed by Window Nation's A+ Better Business Bureau rating, you're guaranteed the best value, or they're going to pay $250. But you got to act fast. Window Nation sizzling savings ends May 31st. Call today. Buy one window. Get one free. There is no limit. Plus, get 0% interest for 5 full years. And those bonus tickets to Hershey Park, you got to call today at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Redskins are reportedly talking contract extension with Brandon Scherff, and they should be. I have said throughout the offseason, Danny, and I think you agree with me, that he should be a priority. I mean, this is a guy that in 4 years would have been a three-time Pro Bowler if not for an injury last year, having played only 8 games. But before last season, he'd missed just 2 games in 3 seasons. And then he tore his pec. 6'5", 315, 27-year-old, Iowa product. Is going into year 5 as a former top 5 pick. They drafted him, and we were told at first, this is your right tackle. And then they kicked him inside immediately.
And we went, uh-oh, is that bad?
His first camp. I've always said I don't have hard and fast rules for the draft. People say you can't draft a guard at number 5. You draft me a 7-time Pro Bowler who ends up being one of my better guards in a 25-year span at number 5, I'll find a way to live with that. I'm okay with that. But the big question is, what is it going to take to re-sign him, And he's going to potentially, you'd have to imagine, reset the guard market.
Yeah, so you got Zach Martin at the top of the market, rightfully so. Probably maybe the best known and maybe best player at that position as part of that great offensive line in Dallas. So I don't know the specific cap counting figures, but just looking at AAV over the life of his deal, by far the biggest contract signed among guards. 6 years, $84 million, average annual value of 14. Andrew Norwell, big free agent this past season, 13-3. Cordy Glenn of Cincinnati, 12
He's another former tackle in
kicked
college.
Inside, yeah.
That kicked inside that now basically mauls people at guard.
Coletio Semele, 11-7. Gabe Jackson, 11. So you see the top has gone from 5-6 to, you know, David DeCastro signed a couple years ago for 10. Trey Turner in Carolina for 11 and change. The top of the market is 14. The towards the top of the market is the 11, 12, 13 range.
To buy out Scherf from going to free agency and to essentially just say, let's get this deal done right now, no reason to hit the open market, I think he's going to want and would probably need to be the highest paid guard in the NFL. Again, if not for the injury last year, he was well on his way to a third Pro Bowl in 3 seasons. I'm sure he and his representation in a discussion with the Redskins would say, this guy is a fringe All-Pro. Maybe he's not a first-team All-Pro, but this is one of the short list best 4 or 5 guards in football right now. And you could argue that, I'm sure. It's hard to do that with metrics, statistics, what have you. But the performance, when you get to the Pro Bowl year in and year out, and sometimes that happens because you get drafted in the top 5 and you make some highlight-worthy blocks, it gets you into that conversation. If they have to pay him, let's just say $14.5 million a year over 5 years to get this deal done, the guard position is one where for many years teams basically didn't take it all that seriously, didn't throw a lot of money at that position, didn't invest a whole lot of assets. I wonder if they would feel like that's a necessity. And maybe it doesn't take, you know, 5-72 per se. Maybe they could get it done at, if they were to offer him right now like 5-65, $13 million a year, and they made him the third highest paid guard in football, I'd like to think that could get it done. But would you pay that much to that position to keep him? You drafted him, you developed him, you finally hit on one of these guys, you got a chance to keep him around for a long time. Is it worth $13 million AAV a season, you know, paying him in that Trent Williams range?
It's a great team-building question because I like Brandon Scherff a lot, and of course every Redskins fan does, right? The guy's a stud. You see some of those incredible highlights on screen passes where he's down the field making 3 or 4 blocks, or, you know, when he comes around on a pole and is knocking the snot out of somebody. When he's right, he's outstanding. But generally, and again, I don't have hard and fast rules. I know it sounds like I do sometimes, but I have general sort of philosophies that I would go by, and exceptions can be made. If you've got, say, for the sake of argument, an exceptional player at a non-traditional money position, you could have an advantage there, right? It used to be nobody cared about tight end. Well, then you had a formation where a tight end could beat every safety, every linebacker, every cornerback, and so now all of a sudden tight ends are a premium. Stuff happens, right? Guys push the envelope. I think Zach Martin has done that to set that record. Usually, when you're building your roster and you got to pay money, you're paying a quarterback, an offensive playmaker, whoever that is, and a tackle, usually your left tackle. On defense, a pass rusher and a playmaker, whether that's it. Corner, a linebacker, safety, something like that. And everyone else, you got to fill in. Sometimes, if you're really smart and savvy with the cap, you can add one more player in there. And that's what the Redskins would have to do. If they pay this money to Brandon Scherff, you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself to get a bunch of young kids right to fill in around them over the next 3 or 4 years. They've done a pretty good job here the last couple seasons of doing that, but it puts more pressure on him when you've got a guy counting $14 million bucks against your cap in the form of Scherff. I would do it because I don't have enough talent, but
that's the key.
It makes pressure happen.
Your line around him makes this, I think, almost pertinent and a major priority.
You can make it the strength of your team.
I'm also going to even simplify this in way fewer words. When you get a great football player, you keep him in your building. We could talk money and position and all kinds of other variables, but the bottom line is, if you have an elite talent, you win with really good players. He is one of those guys. I think he is an elite talent. You got to keep those guys in your building. And it's not like the guard position is insignificant. I mean, look at this offensive line the last couple of years. Center's been a major problem. Maybe you've solved that with your cousin, Chase Roullier. Left guard has been an utter disaster. It has been prohibitive of them getting where they want to go, literally and figuratively. They've been okay at tackle. But pay your best players. Keep your best talent, particularly top 10 picks that you get right. I would pay him. If it takes $13, $14 million a year, I'm locking him up. And I am saying I don't have to worry about right guard for the next six seasons. I don't have to worry about that position as long as I want to keep paying Brandon Scherff because he's under contract. What about you guys, though? In a league today where skill position players cost so much, wide receivers, tight ends, defensively, edge rushers, secondary players, you know, where you need a lot of talent, you'd have a little bit less to spend than if you went cheap at guard inside on your offensive line. You could have two guys for the price you're going to pay Brandon Scherff to start for a while. Neither are going to be as good as him, probably. Would you pay Brandon Scherff top of the market money at the guard position, yes or no? We'll get to your calls next. 800-636-1067. The Redskins and Scherff negotiating as we speak on a new deal, reportedly. NBC Sports Washington and others saying as much. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Jesse Doherty covers the Nats beat, does a great job for the Washington Post. He'll join us at 11 o'clock on Grant and Danny, 25 minutes from right now. Speaking of the Nationals, generally every single day at 12:55, we give away Nats tickets. Well, we're not going to be on the air today at 12:55. They play the Mets, and hopefully they'll beat the Mets. But unless they're winning by 7 or 8 runs with a couple innings to go, who knows? If you want your Nats tickets today on Grant and Danny, you got to be listening at the very end of the hour at 10:55. That is when we'll be giving away the tickets about 20 minutes from right now. Simple question, would you pay Brandon Scherff if it's going to take elite top of the market money for a guard? $14 million bucks, let's say. That could get you a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
That could get you, I'm just going to try to internalize like what else it could be. That could be a number one shutdown shackles corner. That's what we're right now mad that the Redskins paid Josh Norman for being one of the elite corners in the league when they signed him because he doesn't give you that production. That could be a pass rusher opposite Ryan Kerrigan who could also get 13 sacks. That could be a defensive lineman who's the best player in the league at that position. That could be the best inside linebacker in football. That could be a Hall of Fame level tight end that doesn't exist right now.
That we don't know about.
That could be
a T-1000.
There's literally nothing you can't do other than a quarterback to bring in one of the best players in the league other than, you know, maybe, well, even a wide receiver. $13 million a year would get you a bona fide number one. And you're giving that to a guard. I say do it. I think you got to take care of your own. I think he's important enough. But I understand that there would be some trepidation from Redskins fans.
Yeah, and it's reasonable. For people that are really plugged in and understand the salary cap and how you team build, there should be some reservation here. Because whenever you go top of the market for somebody, you better be sure, right? So if you're a team that does this on an annual basis where you're always winning, you've got 10 wins banked, and you're really trying to figure out if you can get to 13 or 14, win a Super Bowl, et cetera, when you got the top-level aspirations, you've always got to go, is this one worth it, right? He's a great player. Nobody's saying he's not a great player, but sometimes you got to let great players walk away. The Baltimore Ravens, who haven't been unbelievable recently, obviously, but their track record's a lot better than the Redskins, they let a guy like C.J. Mosley, a guy they know who can play, they know how good he is, they let him walk away because the bidding got too rich. You would love to be able to keep your own guy who's a stud, but at the same time, you go, you know what? We can't do this and then get to where we want to go as we start to team build, right? Because of where our weaknesses are. Sometimes it's how marketplaces work. If you've got a glut of receiver talent, you can let someone go. If you don't, then you can't. The Redskins are not in a spot to me where, let's say there was an argument, let's say Josh Doctson was good, right? Let's say he was a bona fide number one, as we're talking about, and you would go, who do we pay, the elite wide receiver or the elite guard? I'd pay the elite wide receiver before I paid the elite guard, right, if they were the same. They're not. There's nobody else on the horizon as you look around within a couple years before Allen and I signed his, but before Allen, Payne and company are up for their extensions, there's nobody that you go, well, if we don't allocate it to him, where's it going to go? It should go there. There's no better choice on this roster.
But it's not like you have to pay someone. You could pay none of those guys and let them all walk if you really wanted to. Obviously, that wouldn't be the best practice. But there is something to be said for paying your own. I wouldn't do it just to do it, ever. I would pay guys that are deserving and worthy of being paid. I mean, I think that's probably the best way to go about your business is, because you drafted him in the first round doesn't mean he automatically gets a second contract because he's good. It's a matter of, is this a guy, if we lost him, and I'm thinking as the Redskins in their front office, are we a lot worse? And the answer is, without question, yes. You're not strong enough on your offensive front. You have no depth. Your center and left guard positions have been a fiasco for a few years. He has been a stabilizing influence who has kept the rails and the track from basically being a crash that's all over CNN. Our buddy Guylo on Twitter says, in my opinion, you pay him. This is what you want. You hit in the draft. Not even a question for me. Not to mention you just drafted a young quarterback. You need to give him as much as possible, keeping him upright in terms of help in front of him. I think there's something to be said for that as well. You invested in Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
To now make the decision to not invest in your offensive line would be oxymoronic. You know, it would be a dichotomy that wouldn't make a lot of sense to me. I've got this quarterback, and what he becomes in the next 3 years almost single-handedly will determine whether or not my team is on the ascent.
Oh, by the way, yeah.
Whether or not my team is going to have a chance at greatness, winning in the playoffs. If he's very good, the Redskins have a really good chance to win playoff games in the next couple seasons. If he's really bad, then they just set themselves back 5 years. One way to ensure the best possible production out of Dwayne Haskins, give him time to throw the football. Invest up front. I get it.
So do I. Again, I still look at their lack of playmakers, and if there was a choice, and it came down to that, I'd probably opt for your league average guard and a playmaker on the outside, but that's not available to you. Here's what's available. A guy that's done everything he's been asked to do, that's excelled in his role, who is still got some more upside probably. If he can stay healthy, that's Pro Bowl. That's potential all-pro stuff if this offense starts to hum in the next couple years. I think this is one of those where you got to just swallow a little bit of bile. I have more reservations than you do about paying guards, about paying the quote non-essential personnel. Like, you know when it's snowy outside and the government says, most people can stay home, essential personnel have to be there. I usually would consider a guard a non-essential personnel.
I do too, for the record.
But he's good enough, and there's not a great, you know, extra option, so I'm doing it.
If you drank every time I told this story over the last 5+ years of this show, you'd be drunk. But I remember a conversation I had when I was sitting in Mike Shanahan's office. And when I was on the beat, my favorite times were whenever I got to basically sit there and learn from coaches about just philosophy and paradigm, right? And I remember him talking about the guard position. He did not value it. I can't tell you how many times he would reference basically, well, it's only a guard, or in my offense, guards are, they're just not as important.
Yeah, see Lichtensteiger, Corey.
Exactly.
On his couch for 2 years, right back in the starting line.
Yeah, he goes, I got a job again. He was with me in Denver. He didn't get to play last year when I got fired. Now I'll make him start for the Redskins for a couple years. Jay Gruden, I think, feels somewhat similarly because of that quote he had where he said, we got two picks. One gets hurt and the other is a guard.
Guard.
He clearly doesn't think that highly of the position. My point is, sometimes there are great players. The average guard in the NFL, completely replacement level. There's nothing interesting about paying a guard who's not that good. I happen to think Brandon Scherff will make the Pro Bowl pretty much every year that he's healthy, and that's why I'm paying him. Tony's in Long Island. Tony, good
Tony.
To hear from you again on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
How we doing, guys?
Good, pal.
Very well.
All right. Listen, obviously, that's a big number to give Scherff, but the fear of what the Redskins would do with that $14 million if they had the opportunity to spend it elsewhere is terrifying. You know, they gave the opportunity to Josh Norman. I don't think he was worth the money. I'm going to take a stab in saying giving Landon Collins that type of contract is a risky venture at best. Scherf is a great football player. He, like you said, he's a football player. And you have a quarterback that now you're telling everyone is the franchise in Dwayne Haskins. And he's a low cap number. Like, you have to invest that money somewhere to protect him. And they don't have a great offensive line. So I think it just makes sense for them to spend the money on Scherf, try to draft a little bit better on offense to bring in the pieces for Haskins, and away we go. And that's basically my take on it.
Thanks, buddy. Good call as always. When he calls in, two things happen. He makes a good call, and he gets me thinking about whatever we're talking about. The other thing is, I always picture him as the fifth member of Impractical Jokers. He sounds just like those guys that do the TV show on True TV.
That's always on True TV.
It's the only thing on True TV.
I don't know what season they're in. I don't know what episode it is.
They need to just change that channel to True Jokers, and then basically during the tournament, they have some college basketball.
And then their college hoops on it. It's like their fourth option for games. His best point, though, is about you're going to spend the money, right? Because you do. It's a salary cap, and it's going to happen. To save it for some other thing that's going to come down the line, there's no guarantee there. You got something pretty safe and pretty sound here. I would do it.
A frightening find by a homeowner, an animal in their house.
Oh, no.
I want to talk about close calls with animals that we've had, if there are any to get to.
We'll discuss that.
Also, in 12 minutes, your chance to win tickets to see the Nats this weekend. Make sure you're listening. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jesse Dougherty of the Washington Post joins us at the top of the hour in 12 minutes. Want to ask him about Davey Martinez's job. It's not fun, but it's certainly relevant. The Nats lost again yesterday. Here's the bottom line. Pending today's result, they could, if they lose a series to the Marlins this weekend, fall behind Miami in the standings. And if that happens, you'll want to tune into the show, I'll just say that. Understand something. There's probably not been a team fielded with less major league talent in the recent history of baseball than the Marlins. And they're within a couple games of the Nationals right now.
Just good way to quantify it, dude. Honestly.
I mean, it's the worst major league talent I've ever seen assembled. And I'm not exaggerating. They do not have more than a handful of big leaguers on their roster, and they're within a couple games of the Nationals right now. It's unbelievable.
They are purposefully, they traded away guys like Marcell Ozuna, Christian Yelich, studs, right? They've let them go for prospects. It's people that should not be in the major leagues. Even like, you know, borderline average major leaguers, guys like Derek Dietrich are gone. They are a group of purposeful, we're going to take all our lumps to increase our prospect base for a couple years, team. Actively not trying to win.
If you lose a series to the Marlins after losing a series to the Mets, worst case scenario, you could be swept by New York today. But let's say you win today with Strasburg on the hill and you go 1-3 in this series. If you take 3 out of 4 from the Marlins and you're 4-4 out of 8, that's a disappointing 8 games against 2 reeling teams at the start of that 8-game stretch. The Marlins have gotten warmer since. But 4-4, I think, keeps Davey Martinez's job. If they lose that series to Miami or split even, and they go 3-5 in those 8, it would not surprise me at all if that's the end of the road for him.
Yeah.
We can get into that, though, with Jesse Dougherty. By the way, he just tweeted. We can ask him about this as well. Ryan Zimmerman ran in the last few days and felt pain in his right foot due to the plantar fasciitis he's dealing with. So he's being eased off running now. He's just going to hit in the cage. So that's a delay. That's a setback for Zimmerman's return. By the way, he was hitting .213 with a .676 OPS in 22 games before he went to the shelf. Last year, he hit in the .260s in over half of a season. He had that incredible 2017 year. And it wasn't him. He shouldn't get any credit. Dusty Baker was the manager then, remember? So because Dusty was the manager, he had a really good season in 2017.
My sarcasm detector's going off there, gentlemen.
2016, the year before that, he hit .218. Now, Dusty wasn't having the same conversations with him that year, apparently, to have him play great.
Motivational techniques there.
But if you look at the last 5 seasons for Zim, sub-250, sub-220. Incredible 2017 outlier, .264, .213, and batting averages and everything, obviously. But basically, you look at OPS, some other metrics, he had the one really good year over the last now 5 seasons of this deal. It's tough because we love the guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a mensch. He's awesome. Most of this, I'd say all of it really is that he's been completely derailed by health. But it is what it is when you look at the last several years for him as they've kind of underachieved as an organization.
You go back to the stretch for Zimmerman, really 08 through 13, where this deal was kind of inked and this was thought to be the stalwart. I mean, this is the cautionary tale of what can happen through nobody's fault.
Do you think this affects how they go about Harper and Rendon after they gave out, you know, double-digit years?
I've always wondered that.
I mean, the equivalent of the $100 million-plus they gave Zim would be $200-plus million now, like $250 for Rendon. I wonder if it's a factor. We could ask Dougherty about that as well when we hit on the Nats coming
always
up at the
wondered.
Top of the hour.
Yeah.
I saw a story within the last week of an alligator that was in a Florida home. It actually was in the backyard laying on a, like a...
like comfortable.
A plastic or a kind of floating device in a pool. And it was just chilling in someone's pool.
Just so comfortable in someone's pool.
Then I saw this yesterday, and we're going all the way to India for this dateline. But authorities were called to a Indian village where a resident found a legit crocodile in his kitchen.
Yeah, I mean,
like, walks into the kitchen to cook something, and there's video and pictures of it. There's a big-ass crocodile.
It's like that episode of Jackass, right, where Bam Margera brings a crocodile home, and the mom screams, "Is it real? Is it real?"
That's so good.
Anybody remember that?
I do. Don Vito was great on that show, the late Don Vito. Of course, Phil, Bam's dad, and April, I believe, was his mom. But it got me to thinking. Last time you've had a weird animal interaction, either near you or at your house, I was walking my dog within the last week, and a fox kind of like darted in front of us. And it was, you know.
It's surreal, right?
It was the scariest 2 seconds ever. Tiny little fox.
Yeah.
I could have kicked it 18 yards like I was punting Baxter off a bridge. And by the way, the last thing in the world it wanted was to get anywhere near me.
Right, it wanted no part
like,
of you.
Didn't know I was there, and it saw us, and it ran the other way. But for that split second, I went, that was the scariest thing ever. What's the last time you got too close to an actual wild animal?
Man, I hit a deer late night once on Chesterbrook Road on my way home, on a road that I've been on 10,000 times, and I crossed that same little stretch where there's a deer sign, and I, a millisecond before, remember thinking, you know, I've driven this road a million times, I've never seen a deer. Deer right in front of me. And it's terrifying because it comes out of nowhere, jumps right in front of you, looks at you like, what are you doing here? I'm just here to leisurely cross the road. And, you know, so much damage to the car. The deer flipped over once, got up and jogged away. But I'm sure it bled internally and died later, but whatever. But the most scared I've ever been in my life, I was a kid when this happened. My grandparents' cabin in West Virginia, in Romney, West Virginia.
Oh, I know this story.
You know this story?
This is Phil's fantasy team name, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so we're out there on the porch shucking corn at dusk, right? So it starts to get darker and darker. And I'm just out there doing, you know, they're putting the kid to work, and me and my grandpa and my uncle. And we're just shucking the corn. I'm doing the best I can to shuck the corn. And it's just dark enough now. There's no porch lights. There's no outside lights, right? We got a little bit of light internally here, but you can't see 2 feet beyond the screen and porch, and it's a flimsy screen. And I swear I hear something, and I'm told to pipe down. I hear something. I think there's something right here, you guys. Is it a person? Is one of the neighbors come over to see us? Maybe something's wrong. I'm told to pipe down. I swear I hear something. I hear a little scratch on the screen. And I'm going, don't you hear that? Don't you see that? And I'm told it's nothing. It's bugs. It's something. Then you can clearly see the shadow of this bear stand up on its hind legs and do a bear roar. It wasn't a casual, hey, what's up, guys? It was the loudest, thundering, I'm going to eat all of you roar of, you've infringed on my territory. We're having a fight.
Did you think you were going to die?
I thought I was going to die because that screen couldn't stop an infant.
So this is going to sound kind of dumb, but I think about this sometimes with like a little bit of flooding over one of the roads I'm driving on or something. Things get real so fast when they're uncontrollable. There's no telling a crazy animal, hey, man, you might kill me if you keep it up.
Hey, this is not a big deal. I'll go inside.
This sounds dumb, right?
Yeah.
But like, I think of the same thing with weather sometimes where I'm like, oh, they're saying it's going to be some big storm. Really not that big of a deal. Then all of a sudden there's like a lot of water or there's a lot of snow. And next thing you know, everything's melting or the levee's breaking. Like suddenly it goes 0 to 1,000.
People need to respect dangerous animals. There's constant things all the time where it's like the animal went crazy and the tiger bit the head off of Siegfried or whatever. Please stop associating with dangerous animals. Please let them be out in the wild.
Let's give away some Nats tickets right now. We've had one Nats player on the show this week. Who was it? If you know the answer, you're winning a pair of tickets to see the Nationals take on the Marlins May 26th at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan, PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the game all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contest. Jesse Docherty at the top of the hour. Make sure you're listening. You don't get a lot of us today. We are gone at 11:40.
You've heard a lot about us talking about our weight loss journeys and the health benefits we now enjoy, and it's all thanks to EMP 180 Weight Loss, right? EMP 180's program combines the nutritious foods you need to get and stay healthy with the caring, focused, one-to-one counseling of your own. Assigned professional nutrition and weight loss coach. They stay on top of you. There's an extra layer of accountability. You could Google some diet, and you could try to stay with it as best you can. You need the coaching. They keep you accountable, and the results speak for themselves.
Last year, my brothers took advantage of the Spring Into Summer Special. This year, they're down 100 pounds, and they can't wait to go to the pool. The Spring Into Summer Special is starting right now. I did it a couple of years ago. They did it last year. Danny's done it. It is your turn. Schedule a free consultation at one of 5 area EMP weight loss centers. If you sign up for a minimum 6-week program, you're going to get a week free, which is huge. Not bad, since you can safely lose several pounds a week with EMP 180. That first week is going to change the game. You won't look back. EMP 180, Google them. Go to emp180.com or call them for a consultation, 855-888-0180.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.